Amen. Precious memories. As we come together on this morning, thanking God for the many blessings that He has bestowed upon each one of us, giving us the opportunity to rise on this morning, to be in our right minds, to be able to gather here to worship Him in spirit and in truth. There are so many things, as we just finished singing that song, Precious Memories. There are so many things that we can think about that will bring about joy within our hearts. And as we think about those things, we reflect back upon what God has done for each one of us. And we should be thankful.
Amen.
Should be very thankful. As we come together on this morning, I want to talk to you about a subject that many people of the world are confused about. And they are confused about it because they do not read the Bible. They do not study God's Word the way they should. And that subject is dealing with birth. It's dealing with birth. We can go through the Bible and we can look at many different scripture references that deal with birth. And as we go through them and we think about them, we have to understand that our God is a just God. He is righteous. And foremost, He's faithful. Am I going to forget that He's a God of love? No, I'm not going to forget that. And I don't want you to forget it either. But there has been so many children born in the scriptures that we read about. One in particular is Samuel. Hannah asked God for a son. And you know, we hear people today praying for children for one reason or another. You know, she asked God for a male child, one that she could give back to Him. Now, I want you to understand something as I mentioned that she asked for this child to give back to the Lord, and God doesn't deal with sin. Why do I say that? It's because no child that has been born was born a sinner. We find that Samuel, when he was born and when he was weaned, that he was given back to God, and the Bible says that he grew in stature and in favor of the Lord before men and also before God. And when realizing that, we need to realize that again, that God is just and He's righteous. So when we look at this topic on this morning, the world says that we have inherited sin. And you see there, I have inherited sin, false inherited sin. They were not born sinners. Amen. Not one of us was born a sinner. Now, this world is full of sin. We're born into a sinful world. And as we think about this, we need to understand that our parents, or we as parents, or you as a child, either had to be taught these things, or you went out there in the streets and you learned them on your own, but you were still taught. Sin is something that is taught, and sin is something that is practiced, just as love. Not one of us was born knowing how to love. We were taught how to love. But we were born in a safe state. A state in which if we had died as a baby, we would be with the Lord. We would be in Abraham's bosom. But I want you to know, again, as we look at this, that God's word does not contradict itself. It is easy in some cases to understand, hard in other cases, but it is possible. We have to put forth the effort to understand what his word says. And as we put forth that effort and we learn these things, we teach them to others. And we teach them to others because somebody is teaching a lie. Somebody is teaching a lie. Remember David. David slipped. Easy way of saying it, isn't it? David slept with Bathsheba. But as he slipped and slept with Bathsheba, she conceived. She conceived a child. And as she conceived that child, I want you to understand that the sin wasn't in the birth. The sin was in the conception. Amen. The sin was what David did when he sent for Bathsheba and she came to him and he slept with her. God took care of that. The baby died. Mm-hmm. And David said that the baby can't come back to me, but I can go to where the baby is. Do you think for one moment that David was saying that he was going to go to hell? No, that's not what David was saying. David realized that children are born safe. And as children are born safe, and when they die without the knowledge of sin, that they're okay. They're okay. But we have to know that God's word is true. God's word is true. The scripture reference was read from the book of Ezekiel. The book of Ezekiel. I'm looking for these things here. In the book of Ezekiel, we find that it is very important that we realize that, again, God's word is true. That he states that not that we were born in sin, but something very important happens. The verse I want you to look at is verse 18, where he says, as for his father, because he practiced extortion, robbed his brother, and did what is not good among his people. Behold, he shall die for his iniquity. Mm-hmm. He shall die for his iniquity. Not the son. The son is not going to die because of what the father has done, but the father is going to die because of what he has done. Let's continue in verse 19. It says, yet you say, why should not the son suffer for the iniquity of the father? When the son has done what is just and right and has been careful to observe all my statutes, he shall surely live. Verse 20. The soul who sins, shall die. The son shall not suffer for the iniquity of the father, nor the father suffer for the iniquity of the son. The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon himself, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon himself. Now, I want to see a show of hands. How many of you would like to give an account for what your children are doing or what they have done. And for you, you children, how many of you with a show of hands would like to give an account of what your parents are doing or have done? It's amazing how nobody's hand went up. But if I ask the question with a show of hands, how many of you don't raise your hand? How many of you would like to receive $100? You know, if I would ask you to raise your hand for that, everybody's hand possibly would have went up. Some of y'all don't need any money. But there's a whole lot of hands that would have went up. I want you to know that it's a good thing that we do not and will not have to give an account of the next man's sins. Because, Brother DeMail, if I had to give an account for your sins and you would be let scot-free from those things, how would you act? Don't answer that. I want us to realize the importance of this, that not one of us was born a sinner. But you know what we have done? We have sinned. We have sinned because we have learned how to sin. And we learn how to sin, this is what happens. It separates us away from God. But he is not talking about a baby. He's not talking about a toddler. He's not talking about a little child that doesn't understand right from wrong, that these things will cause him or her to lose their lives. He's talking to somebody that's accountable. Somebody that's accountable. We had AJ a couple of Sundays ago to come forth and make the confession that he believes that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Now, AJ is about 10, 11 years old. And some say, what does he know about sin? And my question would be, what do you know about him? You know, there's a whole lot of little children that are doing things that they're going to have to give an account for. They learn these things. These phones that we allow our children to carry around, these are some dangerous things. Amen. Not just for them, but for us as well. We go places that we know good and well we should not go. We do things that we know that we should not do on them, but we do them anyway. You know what that does for us? Because, again, little children can tell you a whole lot of things. And you'd be like, where did you get that information from? They say, come here, let me show you. And you get on the computer. You say, how did you learn that? My big sister, my big brother, my uncle, my aunt, my mama, my daddy, my grandma, my grandpa, they taught me those things. Did they tell you that those things were wrong? Yes, they said, don't let nobody catch me. Taught. Sin. So therefore, when you know that these things are not right and you do those things, you separate yourself away from God. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 59, Isaiah chapter 59, verse 1 and 2, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, or his ear dull that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God. And your sins have hidden his face from you so that he does not hear. Sin separates us away from God. Amen. What are we going to do about it? What are we going to say about this very thing? What is sin? And why is it such a bad thing? Sin is something that God is displeased with. Sin is something that God did not create in the very beginning. Because the Bible says that everything that God created was very good. And we know that sin is very bad. But let us know and let us understand that as an individual is separated away from God, it's because of what he or she knows to be right or wrong. Again, there are those people that say, well, I don't know, so therefore I'm not going to be held accountable for those things. That is a lie. That's a lie. We need to get in His Word, and we need to find out what's good and what's bad. And we need to do what is right before Him. The Bible says in James chapter 4, verse 17, James 4, 17, because again, we want to know what sin is. The Bible says, so whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, for him it is sin. Why not let God's Word define His Word? What is sin? That which is wrong. That which is wrong. You know, when we think about this, and we think about the things that we have taught our children, we think about the things in which we have been taught, where is the wrongdoing? Where is the right? Where are those things? You know, again, when we think about Ezekiel 18, verse 20 in particular, about the soul that sins, it shall die. You know, I've gone places and I've listened to people, and you know, I've looked at people and I see the different things that they do, the way they talk. And then I hear people say, I want to be like that person. I want to be like that person. Well, when you want to be like somebody that's committing sin, that's practicing sin, and you go wholeheartedly out there and you become like that person, you're dead just like that person. Amen. You're separated away from God. You know, Christians, this is how we act sometimes. We want to be like the world. We're saved. We're saved. But we want to be like the world. So we go out there and we do something that's not right. Now we're separated away from God. We're trying to talk to Him, but He's not listening to us, because we have not asked for forgiveness for the things in which we have done. But going back to that baby is safe. That baby has not inherited anything that you have done that was wrong, nor what was right. That baby is going to have to live. And that baby is going to have to grow. And that baby is going to have to come to the knowledge of who Jesus Christ is and do what the Bible says. So let's make sure that we're living the way we're supposed to live. For we get to this point here in Romans chapter 3, make sure I got the right verse here. Romans chapter 3 and the verse is 23. When we look here, I want you to see how clear God's word is. Now, I can ask you a question, and I can hear it happening, and I can ask you a question, what are you doing? But Ollie, what are you doing? You're turning pages in your Bible, right? And once he stopped, I asked him a question, what have you done? He's turned to the pages in his Bible till he got to Romans chapter 3, and he found verse 23. See, doing something and having done something is two different things. Now, how can a baby who hasn't ever done anything wrong be separated away from God? Amen. The Bible says right here in Romans chapter 3, verse 23, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. All have sinned. You know, as Paul is writing this letter right here, he's writing this letter to those that understand. To those that have done something that was wrong. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. I'm looking around the room. I don't see any little bitty babies here, but I do see, can't even remember her name right now, sitting next to Sister Latonya. Janet, is that her name, Janet? Thank you. If I say, everybody get up and get out of here because there's a fire, She's the only one that I'm looking around that's going to need some assistance to get out of here. If there's a little baby, because your granddaughter is going to follow you wherever you go. She's gone with you. She knows. Let's go. When we know what is right, we do what is right. When we don't know, we have to be helped. We have to be carried sometimes. But let us know this again. He says, for all have sinned. Not that you were born in sin, because a baby doesn't do anything in the womb as far as living right or living wrong. Has no control over that. Yeah, we know that baby is alive in the womb, but what can he or she do to cause them to lose their lives? Nothing. There are some babies that are born addicted to some things because of what the parent has done, and hopefully they can overcome those things. We need to realize all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. This is talking about accountable people. Accountable people. We continue, and we look in the book of Psalms 51. Psalm 51. Well, what does the Bible say here in reference to what David is writing about? What does he say? The Bible says this, behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Does not say that David was born a sinner, does it? If your Bible say that David was born a sinner, let's talk after this. Because that's not how it reads. It says that latter part there, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Now, we're not going to go through history and think about what type of woman was David's mother. But it says what it says. You want to argue about it? Take it up with God come judgment. It's not up for discussion. It's up for understanding what the word says. Not that he was born a sinner, but my mother conceived me in sin. Conception, not birth. How many? Nobody raised their hand. How many were born out of wedlock? How many? That means that if you was born out of wedlock, well, let me rephrase that. How many of you were conceived out of wedlock? I had to go back and change it because some parents may, get divorced before that child is born, or one of the parents may die before that child is born. But how many were conceived out of wedlock? That is called fornication. It's called fornication, and that covers all sexual sins. And if you were conceived out of wedlock, that means somebody was in sin. You know who that somebody was? Your mama and your daddy. Your mama and your daddy, both of them were in sin. So when we think about this, and you can go back and you can think about David's son that died and Bathsheba's son that died. Now, wedlock, Bathsheba was married. David had wives. So they were committing adultery. So we can even say in that case there that here is wedlock, but there is still sin. Conceived in sin, not born in sin, did not make that baby a sinner. See, there's consequences to sin. And we want you to understand that somebody is going to pay for sin. And we know that Jesus Christ came to save his people from their sins. He was the payment in many cases. But there are some people that had to pay the penalty of sin or suffer the consequences of their sins. And David was one of them by his child dying. And then God said, the same thing you did in private, I'm going to allow that same thing to happen to you in the open. Sad. sad, but that's just the way it is. So we have to suffer for our sins, pay the consequences for our sins. So inherited sin, as we have looked thus far, is not true. We have not inherited anybody else's sin. Each person that has committed a sin has to pay for it. Has to pay for it. The Bible tells us this in the book of Psalm 139. Tell me, if we have inherited sin, how could this verse be possible? How could it be possible? No way. No way whatsoever could this verse be in the Bible. Psalm 139, verse 13. For you formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your words. My soul knows it very well. Fearfully and wonderfully made. Were there any sin in that? There's not any. There's not any. So if we can look at this and we can understand that David was not saying that he was born a sinner, then we need to understand that you and I were not born sinners either. But we learned sin. And as we learned sin, we had to do something about it. Are you with me? Do you understand what type of people we are? What type of people we were? How were we born? Why did we ever have to come to Christ anyway? The Bible says in the book of Ecclesiastes, Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 29. See, this alone I found, that God made man upright, but they have sought out many schemes. Does that sound like to you a person that was born a sinner, that was made a sinful person? Does that sound like that to you? It says, but they have sought out many schemes. That means that when they got to the point of knowing that's not right, but I want to go after it. That's what that's saying right there. So how many of you would say that lady that's with that child is a sinner? That child is going to be born a sinner. Or how many of you say that there's hope? That once that child is born, that parent will teach that child and continue to teach that child what is right. And hopefully that child will listen to that parent. And that child will understand the importance of continuing to do what the parents tell them to do. Remember the scripture says in the book of Ephesians chapter 6 verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. That you may love your mother and your father, honor them. That you may live long on the earth. See, that was the first commandment that was given with a promise. You love your mother and your father. You listen to them and you may live long on the earth. Well, what's the opposite of that? When you quit listening to them and you do things wrong, you're subject to lose your life. Same still hold truth today. Same still holds true today. That when a child listens to mom and dad, grandma and grandpa, when they're telling them to do what is right, and those children do that, they have an opportunity to live a long time. But when they are disobedient, when they want to run the streets, when they want to do what they want to do, something happened to them and they lose their life. You know what that parents say? Oh, he was a good child. Oh, she was good. But you let them run wild. You let them run wild. So now the burden is on you. That child made up in his or her mind what they wanted to do, and they went out there and they did it. They lost their lives, and now you have to live with that. And here, instead of saying that they was good and in front of everybody, you go back home and you say, I wish I would have taught them better. I wish I would have had a tighter rein on them. I know sometimes our children just won't listen, but there are times where they will listen, and they want somebody to guide them in the right direction. See, we were not born sinners. We have learned how to sin. And by learning how to sin, we need to realize the importance of coming back to Christ. Coming back to Him. Asking Him to forgive us for what we have done by confessing that He is the Son of God. And being baptized, coming in contact with the blood in the watery grave for the remission of sins. And learning, continuing to learn what is right. The Bible says in 2 Peter chapter 3 and the verses 18, that you may grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Grow. Maturing, continuing to strive to do what is right before God, for we know that one day we will die and we will have to give an account of what we have done. Hebrews 9:27. For it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment. God will judge us. And when we stand before that judgment throne, remember this, that it is not to give an account of what our parents have done, but it's to give an account of what we have done. So let's stay in the Word and let's do what's right. If you're here and you're not a child of God and you want to become one, that opportunity is yours. Come forth on this morning to make that confession that you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, being immersed in the watery grave, rising to walk a newness of life. And maybe you're here and you're straight away. We're asking you to come back. We're asking you to confess your faults. If you have to go to somebody and confess to them to get it right with them and ask them to forgive you, you do that. But if it's something that you can get right between you and God, you do that as well. Amen. And that is what He desires. If you're hearing your subject, we ask you to please come as we stand and sing the invitation hymn.